Many Latinos in border communities say they feel targeted after the recent massacre at an El Paso Walmart. I talked about this with Stevie Paz with NM Cafe, a faith-based community organizing group that has been vocal against white supremacy and hate crimes in our country. Stevie, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
So when the news of this mass shooting in El Paso took place, it was later reported that the shooter apparently posted online that the attack was his response to, quote, a Hispanic invasion of Texas. Mm-hmm. When you heard those words, what came to mind?
Like, this was personal to people who looked like me, who looked like my brother, my aunts, my uncles. Like, this was very personal, and this is the same rhetoric that, you know, we're hearing from this administration. The words invasion, the words like illegal infestation, these are blatantly targeted towards communities of color. And specifically, invasion of Hispanics in Texas was something that I took personally. And I know that there's people all over this country that, whether they be Latino, Mexican, however they identify, are taking it really, really personally.
So you mentioned this administration. President Trump obviously has been criticized for his heated rhetoric surrounding immigration and border security. There's been some experts being quoted in the news as saying that there may be a link between political rhetoric and a rise in hate crimes. What do you think about this? Do words matter?
Yes, words absolutely matter, whether it's indirectly or directly. The things that he has said, like, people are now adopting it and taking it literally. Like, white supremacy has always existed in this country, but now I feel like more than ever, it's actually making people act on it and target people of color. And especially where we live in the borderlands, you know, immigration is a big issue for us. We're on the borderlands, we're on the border. We're being militarized by, you know, CBP and ICE getting more money. We're seeing asylum seekers come to the border and being turned away or held in detention centers and hearing these horrific stories of people's experiences in detention. You know, and this community is predominantly Mexican, Latino. So I honestly feel like we're literally being hit at every angle, and we can no longer shoulder the burden ourselves. Like, we need allies and people to fight for us and stand with us in this moment.
So you brought up an issue, our communities here in the borderlands being caught up in the immigration debate. Mm-hmm. With this recent mass shooting in mind, do you have any thoughts on how this crime and the heated rhetoric surrounding the issue of immigration impacts our communities?
I mean, the way that I can make the link between and actually get the sense of it is this feels very personal to people, whether they're involved in immigration or, you know, living in El Paso or simply just being Latino. Like, it's all very overwhelming and it's very, very personal. Like, I know personally myself, I'm feeling angry, hurt, upset, sad, like probably every emotion that I can articulate right now. And I'm sure that there's other people there feeling that way that can't name it.
As the digital organizer in your organization, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Twitter has recently really come under a lot of pressure to ban white supremacists. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? And I'd like to hear kind of how you think, do you think that this could make a difference in preventing hate crimes?
Mm-hmm. So I've actually seen some of these accounts that I guess are white supremacists or supporting the white supremacist ideals and language. And I know people will take steps to report those accounts repeatedly until they get deleted. However, you know, you can report a Twitter account. It can get deleted or suspended or what have you. But there are also people, I think 8chan's one of them, or 4chan. It's like an online community message board. I don't know. I wasn't too familiar with it until I heard about it recently. I was reading stuff on social media and heard about it, where people actually get into these message boards and are actually being radicalized online. So I'm not sure if, like, just reporting a Twitter account is actually more effective than these message boards online that are separate from Twitter, where we're actually going to have to be really monitoring and really looking at those types of things to see what people are talking about, what they're saying, and how they're being radicalized online.
The concern some folks may be having with this is, are we censoring ourselves or limiting free speech? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The way I see it is, like, there's a difference between free speech and being very hateful. Again, words matter. The words that we use about people of color, specifically black and brown bodies, there's a difference between saying things that are your opinion, but then saying things that are super, super hateful.
Now, as part of your mission with your organization, I know you work with many immigrant communities, people that are directly affected by immigration enforcement policy. How has this recent mass shooting, now that we're learning more about it, that the shooter allegedly targeted Hispanics, how do you feel that is impacting the communities, the immigrant communities, communities here in our borderland?
It's overwhelming. I mean, people are afraid. People are afraid to go to the store, speak Spanish, to be with their be with all their family in public. Like, I don't know how else to describe it besides it's like this inherent fear that you're going to be targeted just for the way you look, for the way that you're, what language you speak, anything. People are very, like, on edge.
What are the conversations like with you and members of your organization involving that? What are they like now after this incident?
I mean, everyone's on edge. You know, we're still trying to go about the work, what we're at CAFE for, what, why we do this work. We're very rooted in our work, but, you know, we're all on edge. We'd be lying if we said we weren't. You know, we're people, we work, we're here with our communities, and it's just really difficult at this moment.
What do you feel communities and lawmakers can really do to combat hate crimes and racist language? What are some things you think they can do and take action on to make a difference?
I think that they can take action by letting people like myself, especially brown, black and brown bodies, be not being silenced, like letting us express the way we feel because we're it's very valid, and not be dismissed in how we talk about white supremacy and how we talk about gun violence. Like, there are public officials that should be naming it as white supremacy. There should be actions taken against people who are supporting white supremacy, who are radicalizing people online. There needs to be investigations into people that have committed domestic terrorism acts or who might be planning.
You mentioned that black and brown voices are being silenced. Can you, like, tell me how it's happening?
People have expressed feelings about gun violence or white supremacy, for example. I've seen people automatically jump to, you know, well, don't politicize this. Let's think about the victims. Let's think about the families. And, you know, we are thinking about the victims. We are thinking about those families. That's why we're talking about gun violence and white supremacy. That's why we feel the need and the importance to voice it, because that is the reason that 22 people died on Saturday. We cannot keep tiptoeing around these conversations and saying, well, that's too political right now. We need to be talking about these things.
What are some of your thoughts on how the media covers these issues? And I'd like to just really hear your thoughts on how you feel they're covering the issues and if you think it's really making a difference.
To be honest, I don't really know how to answer that question, because I feel like I see a mix of media doing very well to get black and brown voices on this issue. And then I feel like in some instances, it has gone over the head on what to call this incident. People aren't blatantly calling it domestic terrorism or calling out white supremacy. It's kind of like alluding to it, but not actually naming it.
2020 is just around the corner. It's a presidential election year. How do you feel we as a community and really the country need to approach this year with all of these issues happening right now?
I mean, we can't forget any of these issues. 2020 is going to be an important year, but it's also beyond the elections. Like, this is long term. This isn't just, okay, 2020 is coming, so we're going to focus on, you know, gun violence, immigration, and then once things turns out favorable, we're just going to forget about it. No, this is for the long term. Like, it's really important to, like, talk about these issues and not sweep them under the rug. We can't ignore it.
There's been a lot of recent reporting involving immigration and how the United States is enforcing immigration policy. How do things like raids that we saw recently in Mississippi impact a community?
Like the emotional scars, like I think it brings about trauma. Like we literally just had the shooting happen Saturday, and then the raids in Mississippi just happened, I think, yesterday, with about 680 people being taken. And this has predominantly affected the Black and Brown community. So I think I'm getting the sense that it's feeling like we're being attacked from all sides of two different issues. But as a community, this is impacting us as a whole.
So obviously there's been a lot of attention to how asylum seekers in the United States have been treated, and even those waiting on the outside along the border. At least 40,000 people, it's been reported recently, waiting at the border for a chance at asylum. How do you feel that the recent actions and how this administration is handling the issue of asylum, immigrants, migrants, how do you feel it is impacting communities here in our borderland?
I mean, it's severely impacting us. From this administration specifically, our borderlands are often attacked or looked at as a ground zero of desolate lands. Like there's this assumption that there's nothing here, that people here are like terrible, awful. And it's, you know, I grew up here. I feel like it's like any other city in America. The only difference is we're on the border. We're like a rich culture of people. To hear these things being said about our communities and to see such punitive measures being taken against people who are trying to, you know, seek safety and seek a better life for their children is heartbreaking, because, you know, most of us that live here have had families that have crossed the border through whatever means that is. I mean, I have that personal connection with my grandfather coming from Mexico to work as a bracero. And I had my grandmother, she came through the Rio Grande. She crossed the Rio Grande undocumented, but then was able to become citizen like years later. So, I mean, it's heartbreaking to see these families who are suffering, who just want the same things that my grandparents wanted for their children.
As we move forward, where do we go from here?
I mean, our community's taken a lot. With all that's just happened, I'm more worried about how are people feeling? How are they dealing with it? What pops in my mind is like mental health. Like, how are they taking care of themselves? Do they have someone to talk to? Do they have resources to talk to someone? And honestly, I don't know where we go from here, because we're just in a really critical moment where everyone's just kind of looking around like, what the heck just happened? Like, what's happening?
There's been a little reporting on mental health and community organizing.
Mm-hmm.
In recent years, there's been so many hot button issues involving gun violence, police brutality, obviously hate crimes, the heated rhetoric behind immigration. As an organizer, what do you think your organization and other organizations like yours need to consider moving forward within this world that we live in filled with heated rhetoric?
I think for our communities, it's being able to provide them a space to vent, because they may not have that. And then for us as community organizers and organizers in general, I think we need to really reckon with not just our safety, but how are we protecting our people? What measures are we putting into like take care of ourselves too? Because self-care is super important. And, you know, some of us don't have the tools on how to navigate these issues. And it's kind of a learning as we go and talking with people. And I think the benefit of it is talking with people, because people just want to be heard.
Stevie Paz is a digital organizer with NM Cafe. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.